Burn that rubber like I'm Michelin. Five star food that I dish to them. Chef sat on when I whip in the kitchen, and I switch suits like I'm Mr. Ben.
10-10 gear, I shift up to fifth. Blues in the rear and I'm swerving the mains like Tokyo Drift. Took a shot, but he missed. Then made love to the grin and kissed
the curb. What's the word? I dodge your case, so I flip the bird. Grab the bin, get back to work. Then I'm switching lanes and I flex out
hurt. I'll hurt him. One thing's for sure and two things for certain. When he gets made, then the pecs I'm serving him. Mess with a cake and I bet him a burger.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to What Would Fergie Do podcast. I am your host, Olujimi, joined as usual by Mr. Francis.
Hey, yo.
And the man who loves to introduce himself.
El Maestro, once again. I think I need to reintroduce myself to some of you. Because, you know, I'm not sure you're aware, but I also go by the moniker MK. Short for Maestro Nose. Some people call me MKA. I don't really subscribe to that. Maestro Nose.
Kobimeno. I thought it was Kobimeno.
Kobimeno. Yeah. That's what you thought MK was this whole time?
Wait, Jibo, you don't know what MK means?
I thought it was Kobimeno. I've been time. Honest. In the spirit of transparency.
Yeah. Nah, MK, wow. Maestro Nose, man. Maestro Nose.
Yeah, actually, it is MKN.
MKA. So
do you know what MKN means?
No.
It's not your introduction.
It means Maestro Knows Nothing.
Nothing. Oh, I should have known, coming from you.
Jibo said Kobimeno.
because sometimes you guys, when I enter the chat, like you guys will have talked for like, and I'm not scrolling up.
Yeah.
So I think this happened like around preseason, like when Kobimeno was pulling strings in the midfield. That's when the MK moniker came about.
No, maybe because as you know, if you've been an avid follower of the, What Would Fergie Do universe, I had the series. During the transfer window where I was breaking down how we're going to play, called Maestro Knows. We had multiple episodes.
Oh, no, I know that.
Yeah, so that's where, that's where it came from.
So, Jibo, you might have to go back and read all the chat here to get context, because...
Nah, I'm good.
MK really N.
We talk too much in that chat. Like, I'm not scrolling up. Anyways, sorry for interrupting your introduction. Do you want to like go over it?
Yeah, no, you guys already know who I am. MK, like I said, you can call me MK, you can call me Maestro, you can call me Nostradamus, you can call me Papa Chulo, you can call me Dr. Ramen. Any one of these will work, but you can always call me the greatest.
MKN.
MJ, the greatest. Okay. Anyways, it's been a long week. I think last time we did a podcast, some of us were still in Toronto. So I think I came back on Monday. I don't know when Larry came back, but I came back technically Red Dial Monday back. Morning. Oh, you're still there? Oh, my bad. Fabrizio, you're still there? I had no idea. Funny enough, I'm actually coming back tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah, I have another wedding on Sunday to attend. So.
Oh, say word, say less.
When do you leave?
I leave on Sunday.
I leave Saturday. I get to Toronto Saturday at like 9:30 or so, and then the wedding I'm going to is in Niagara. So I'm picking up a rental on Sunday morning and driving to Niagara.
Oh, okay.
And then coming back to Toronto. Then I'm staying in Toronto for the week because Uncle Waffles is coming. We gotta pay homage to all my piano lovers out here. Uncle Alf is gonna be in Toronto on Thursday, so
don't forget.
Amari, that's one of the people I actually want to see, because going by the last time we went to one of these Amapiano DJs, like it wasn't the best.
Yeah,
but yeah, What Would Fergie Do fans, if you're there out there, pull up to Uncle Waffles at History on Thursday, and don't be shy.
Yeah, still reporting live on direct.
For real, yo. Okay, yeah. I'll link you when I land on Saturday.
Yeah. Mandem will be out and about on Saturday, so.
Well, I know. That's why I said I'll link you.
me know what's goody.
Well, anyways, in that time, we played a game against Nottingham Forest that ended United 3, Nottingham Forest 2. The game didn't start off the way I thought it would start. Like, for some reason, we keep conceding this kind of goals that you would think De Gea is still in goal. The first goal by Adini, like, I wasn't sure what our man Onana was doing. The second goal, too, it felt like he could have come out, like, and, you know, get the ball. But anyways, that's neither here nor there. The end result is that they went down a man.
I've heard a lot about Onana. Like, I think you guys are doing too much. That was a one-on-one.
No.
Yeah, he fell down, he stumbled. That was for sure.
Yeah, but he sat himself down before the guy even, like, took the shot.
Even if he did sit himself down, you would back his striker. Like, you know what? I didn't even notice the sit down. I noticed Rashford more than I noticed the sit down. Because 9 out of 10 times, the striker is going to finish that chance. Like, you are not getting to that point I'm missing. Yes.
No, again, I'm just saying the fact that he felt like he looked clumsy to me is what I just noticed.
And then question, the second goal, there's no way you're telling me that he's supposed to catch that.
El Maestro, question for you.
I didn't say,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Francis. If Onana looks at that, if he looks at the replay of that goal, do you think he'll blame himself for anything?
I think he'll be disappointed. I don't think he'll blame himself. Onana is not the reason we consider that goal.
No, of course.
Go like that from a corner kick.
Of course, Onana is not to be blamed at
I
all
think
for
he's
any.
Disappointed, and he should be disappointed.
Why would he be disappointed? Is it because he conceded, or he could have done better?
He could definitely have done better. I'm not saying he couldn't have done.
But that's
better.
What we're saying, though.
And I think that's what that Jimmy is saying.
My point is that, like, people are saying it's almost like it's a goalie error. That's not a goalie error.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's what Jimmy too was trying to say.
Two things can be true. Yes, we considered, I think Rashford should have done better. But again, Rashford is a
I don't even know if I would blame Rashford.
I would blame Rashford.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. Like, Rashford is a forward. I don't expect him to make those kind of tackles. Like, I feel like if he had tried to make a tackle, he could have gone center by with a red. You know what I'm trying to say? So I wasn't, like, because if Rashford makes a tackle there and he misses and he gets the man, that's a red card.
No, I don't. That's not why I'm not even blaming Rashford. But because, regardless of whoever was in that position, it could have been a defender or whatnot. I think if the person commits at that point, it's a red card. And this is like second minute into the game. So it's not the personnel in the sense, it's more of the positioning around the corner kick. You can't have Wan-Bissaka, who's your defender, be so upfront and Rashford be your last man. I don't think positionally we were correct in the first place, right?
And I get what you're saying, but I think the idea behind that is that you have two of your fastest people in the back, right? In case anything pops off, which is, I think the idea was to have those two there, which is Anthony and Rashford, because, you know, if anything pops up, they have the enough space to actually recover, which Rashford kind of got there, but it just happened to, like, the guy still scored. I think that was the idea.
It's
a press conference. I don't know what, like, he said about that goal. But I think the idea behind that is, okay, you have your two fastest players behind.
It's not even about having fast players. It's about being able to read the game. Because if the ball is in the air and one person is going for the ball, like, you have two players there, the second person should be drawing back.
Yep.
To anticipate where the ball is going to
land. I agree with you.
So when Wan-Bissaka went for the ball, although even Son was blocking his eye, he lost the ball in that sense. Rashford should have been drawing back to anticipate that, but he's not a defender. So I think that's where he made his own mistake. And then when he had run to the ball, caught the ball and pushed the ball forward, I thought Onana should have made himself bigger and given Awoniyi a decision to make. So I want to shoot now, I don't want to shoot now. But he went down too easily. And that's what helped Awoniyi decide what he wanted to do. That's where I think Onana made a mistake or should have done better. So it was a contribution.
I agree with you. Like, Onana could have made it more difficult and then ask the question of Awoniyi, and he didn't ask the question and he made it easier for Awoniyi to score. But I guess what I was saying was, maybe you noticed that early. I didn't even notice it till, like, the replays. I think you actually said it in the chat, like, Onana, and then I looked at it.
Yeah,
I noticed it. Yeah. But like for me, once I saw him running, in my mind it was 1-0 already. Like it was because the pace with which he beat Rashford with, because Rashford was standing still and he had already started running, so the acceleration was already there. In my mind, once he started getting close to the box, I already thought 1-0. So yes, Onana lost his balance, could have done better, but it's not the kind of chance that I would necessarily blame the keeper, especially when you think about Awoniyi, like the form that he's been in. To me, he was probably going to score that 9 out of 10 times. Like before the game, we were talking about he scored in
seven straight games.
So I was even thinking, man, if I played FPL this year, I would have maybe playing him, you know, for this game.
But anyways, the game ended. Well, we went down 2-0. I think in the first 10 minutes, we were down 2-0. And we came back, goals by Bruno, did Rashford score? Or was it an assist? I can't remember who scored for us. But anyways, we came back and won 3-2. And, you know, fighting spirits. Although it also helps that the fact that they got a red card. But I guess, Francis, like, what were your thoughts on the game? Like, did you see, like, because we complained a lot about the way we've been playing the last first two games. And it felt like some of that, like, kind of, like, red is ugly head again in this game, I guess, National Forest. What were your thoughts on the game?
I think for neutrals, it's probably an interesting game to watch. But for a United fan, you can't just concede 2 goals in the space of 4 minutes, man. It just, you know, throws away the entire plan, you know, and everything goes out the window, and then you're chasing the game for a long period of time. But I'll give the team credit. I think on one hand, they were patient enough to be able to create chances and not, you know, rush a lot of things. So I think that's what the team did very well. I think even the 2 goals that we conceded, it made the team feel, oh, you know what, we've considered 2 goals, let's just play and then see what happens. So they weren't really rushing. They actually took their time to create chances. And, you know, we were able to equalize and get the last goal. One thing I'd say is, if it was a better team or if it was a team that took the initiative, even after scoring 2 goals, I think United will probably have been considered more. Because this team, once they considered two, they decided to sit back and just withstand pressure and maybe throw the ball to Awoniyi.
It changed their tactics for sure.
Yeah, I think their tactics was probably the same from the beginning. It was Awoniyi was always going to be the outlet. It was just 2 defensive errors, one from the corner kick, one from the set piece that look like they did something, but they didn't really do much, right?
How dare you? When this game was going on and we considered the 2 goals in the first 4 minutes.
Yo, why are you putting out man's business like that on the pod?
I said it in that moment. I said, we're still going to win this game. Everybody laughed. You coughed. Now you're talking about, I want to give them credit. Don't give nobody credit. You guys never believed. I told them, you know, they didn't believe. I told them I was a genius. They didn't believe.
But nah, your prediction guys, was wrong,
Joe. What was my prediction?
I think you said 3-1. Like, you didn't get...
No, I mean, credit to Larry, in the spirit of giving credit, credit to Larry as well for saying that United was going to come back in the group chat.
Please refer to me as Maestro when you're talking about my predictions.
And, The game will end with United winning. So yeah, credit to him on that standpoint. But yeah, going back to what I was saying, I think United in general did well. There were some good patterns of play as the game progressed. But again, it goes back to Nottingham Forest just sitting back and not taking the initiative.
I don't know if I would say, because Nottingham Forest still has some chances. I think...
No,
a couple
really.
Of things. One, I think Bruno played much better in this game. And when Bruno plays well, it actually allows us, like, we are going to create chances. The second thing is, we also saw Rashford play on the left. I don't know that Rashford played an incredible game. And sometimes I actually, like, when I watch Rashford now, I try to watch him not just when he has the ball, but when he doesn't have the ball. And sometimes I feel sorry for him, because when you watch Rashford off the ball, you realize he actually makes a lot of runs. And I think he's, that's when, like, sometimes you see his frustration. It's because he's constantly running and constantly making good runs in behind defenders, and they don't always pick him out. But I thought Rashford was a threat every time he got the ball and isolated his defender, which is what we've been begging for, really. Like, that's what Garnacho didn't do. That's what Antony doesn't do. Is, you think about two of the goals, like the very first goal when Rashford goes at his Ori, crosses the ball for Eriksen, and then we score. And then I think the second goal, was it the second? No, the penalty was also Rashford going at his man and then getting fouled. So I thought there was more of a cutting edge on the wings because Rashford played on the left. And I thought Bruno had a better game as well. But the reason why I thought we would win that game was, honestly, most of it was due to the fact that we conceded those goals at the very start of the game and we were at home.
Yeah.
If we consider those goals like at the end of the half, for example, I would not nearly be as confident as I was. Because, like you guys kind of mentioned, once you consider at the beginning of the game, now you have to wake up and you really have to play. And for the most part, most teams, when you have two goals up, you're going to lock up. Like, even big teams. Maybe not possession-based teams, but you start looking for your counter opportunities. And I thought Nottingham Forest had some of those. They just didn't capitalize on it the same way. So, for me, I looked at the game, and again, it's Nottingham Forest, it's at Old Trafford. So it's not, even the 3-2 win, I'm not like overawed by the performance. These are like the kind of games that we should be winning. I think we're still trying to build on some of the performances that we've had and get better. And I think this was a better performance than some of the ones we've seen. Going forward, it will be interesting to see what the team looks like. I have a question for you guys, because obviously, you know, both of you, and I don't mean this like as a criticism. I just, like, I'm expressing the opinions that you've expressed. You guys have been underwhelmed by missing Mount. What did you think about Eriksen's performance?
I don't know. I don't think like he did anything special, but I think what changed is the fact that he played a little bit deeper, which meant Cass didn't have to be like doing too much, if that makes sense. But from an overall performance standpoint, I don't think like he did anything extraordinary. Like, he gave some good passes here and there, but I think the idea of him just sitting a little bit deeper is what changed things for me, if that makes sense. I don't know what your thoughts are, Francis.
I think with the way Nottingham Forest played, where they had to sit back, then it gave Eriksen more room to just have more time on the ball. I think that plays towards Eriksen's strengths. If the opposition team is not wrong-footed and they are not as aggressive, Eriksen would have enough time to do one or two things. In this game, yeah, I think he was just okay. In some cases, he was non-existent, but overall, I thought it was okay. There was nothing really spectacular about his play, but in other cases you can see some of the benefits or some of the control that he can bring to the team. I don't think this was the best game to judge Eriksen's performance in the United shirt.
Yeah, but anyways, we can move on to.
Well, Maestro, did you have any comments towards that, or do you have any different view?
No comments. I think when I looked at that performance from Eriksen, I felt like those are some of the performances we've seen from Mason Mount. You know, and again, for me, I wonder if I'm 100%. 100%.
I think I agree with Maestro in the sense that, like, yeah, like, performance-wise, I would say, like, he's been on par with what Mason Mount has.
Yeah, like...
I think, like I said, the difference is the fact that you get Bruno to playing his more natural role, and you have someone helping out, kind of.
Wait, is that what you're talking about?
The fact that we won. Like, I think, again, when I look at Eriksen versus Mason Mount, I think we look at Mason Mount and we judge him based on what a lot of the fan base think we need. So we don't judge him for the position he's actually playing. We judge him for the position that we could have bought. So a lot of people will say, like, oh, we could have spent money on this person, Why did we get this guy? And so every time we play, we don't judge him for his own performance. We say, oh, we should have gotten a number 8. We should have gotten a number 6. And when we play Eriksen, we don't do that with him, right? Like, we just allow Eriksen to be whatever. Like, if I ask you, did Eriksen play 8 or 6, you probably can't tell me, because he was playing both at different points in time in the game.
But I think that's what, I think we're all saying the same thing, though. Like, because, like, I think even with, from the coaching, I think maybe it's because Itch thinks he can do more. But I think he has more, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? More authority to move, to go forward. But one thing that I've noticed is that when him and Bruno plays, it just seems to be in the same kind of position all the time, which we don't need two people in that position.
But do you think that's a mistake? Because
I don't think that's a mistake. I guess that's my point.
I
think from ETH, ETH thinks like he can do more, but then he ends up hurting our midfield, is my point.
I think they need to find the right balance. You know, Mount probably does bring benefits when he's playing in the same position or hovering around the same position as Bruno Fernandes, but then it hurts us defensively, right?
Yeah.
Because the transition is, it makes it look like we have no midfielders, especially when we don't win the ball, you know, high up the field. So I think we're all saying the same thing, but we're talking about different points within the same conversation. So it is what it is. Mount is probably gone till after the international break. So guess we're stuck with Eriksen.
Yeah, we're stuck with Eriksen. And it looks like today is the deadline for transfer deadline. And it looks like in the meantime, we've signed two people officially. I think we've signed one on loan, which is Reguilon. I think that's because of the injury to Shaw and Malacia. And then we also brought in Johnny Evans. I don't know why, but yeah, we have Johnny Evans. And it looks like, according to Maurizio, is it Maurizio or Fabrizio? Sorry. According to Fabrizio, we are very close. Again, that's like the story of United when it comes to signing players. We're always very close. We're very close to getting Amrabat on loan. And I think from Amrabat, I think we've got it. Here we go. Okay. So let's just assume we've signed Amrabat.
like that has never changed anything.
Let's just assume like we've actually signed Amrabat. So that means we brought in Onana, Højlund. Who else do we bring? Mount, Reguilon, Amrabat, and Johnny Evans. So that's 5 players in this transfer window.
And a goalie.
What are your thoughts on? Sorry, and we also brought in a goalie. Sorry, that's 6 players. Yes.
Yeah.
I guess Elmaestro, I'll start with you. Since you seem to be the most enthusiastic about this team among 3 of us, like, what are your thoughts on the overall transfer? Do you think, me personally, I think you bring in Amrabat because you want him to play kind of like the number 6, if I'm correct, because I think that's what he plays. I don't see him as an 8. So what are your thoughts, overall thoughts on the transfer window? And I think you probably focus more on the 3 new players that we brought in. Like, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think obviously we've talked about some of the other players. If we are talking about just the overall transfer window, I would give it like a B minus, if I'm being honest, like a B minus. The thing is, the initial people that we signed, I felt like we had justified reasons for signing. And I know everybody might disagree, but I thought we needed a midfielder, a goalkeeper, and a striker, and we did those. Where I think we didn't do well, and what has made us look even worse, is one, this idea of how strict we have to be towards FFP. It's like, why are we, you know, like, why is this the case? And obviously, part of it is because we haven't been able to sell players. And because last season, we overspent in terms of what we could have done because we were trying to sign people at the last second. So again, when we look at this year, it's like, okay, we did some of our good business early, but we still were in a hurry with some of the signings that we were making towards the end. Like, you look at, we're signing, 4 players on transfer deadline day: Johnny Evans, a new goalie, Amrabat, and Sergio Reguilon. Okay, and Reguilon, okay, you can say, okay, he's replacing the left backs that are injured. Amrabat has been there the entire transfer window. You're telling me for 20 million, which is what You know, you think about how many
actually
people
we are paying 10 million for loan is what five.
Yeah, and then 20 million for the option at the end of it. So for me, it's just like, is it 20 million that we're struggling to come up with? Like 20 million, really? Like Fulham, Nottingham Forest, Liverpool, Napoli, Al Etihad. Like, if you just think about what Amrabat actually did for us in order for us to sign him, I've never seen, okay, let me not say never, but it's like, do you understand that, like, at least five clubs made offers that his team actually accepted at different points in time in the transfer window, and this guy said no, to the point where they told him he can no longer train with the squad and they put him to train by himself. And he's been doing that for almost a month. Like, he's not been training.
And still, we couldn't buy him. We have to get him on loan.
And then we're trying to get him on deadline day. Like, we didn't know we needed this. And meanwhile, we still have Maguire. Now, I understand that Maguire didn't want to leave without being compensated. Like, didn't want to leave without 12 million. But I still feel like there are ways if you really want to put pressure on him to leave. Now, maybe you don't want him to leave. Personally, I don't mind Maguire staying, to be honest. If he's fourth choice center back and he only gets a game here and there, that's fine. Like, I don't know that we for sure will get somebody that's a fourth choice center back that will be better than Maguire. But, like, you look at our midfield, we still have Donny van der Beek. We still have Scott McTominay. We have Maino coming from injury. So where are these guys going to play? Like, you now have Casemiro, Maino, Mount, Eriksen, Scott, Amrabat. You know, you have almost like seven different, like, you have like seven midfielders. Like, where are all these people going to play? So for me, we still need to get much better at selling people. I'm not even trying to make it look like, I know some people are pissed about the amounts that we're selling people for. But to be honest, like, I think when you are a successful team, success allows you to be able to charge more, right? Like, I think you look at Chelsea, they weren't successful last season, but even two seasons ago, they won the Champions League. So you can look at Mount and Havertz and some of these players and say they are Champions League winners or people that have some pedigree, right? I don't think until we are winning, we can actually demand a lot of money, you know? But you look at Man City too, like, they can sell some of these guys because one, the players are good. So we need to say that. But two, it's like when you're part of a winning team, they think, oh, you've been in the Pep School of Magic. Maybe you're Harry Potter, you know? So I feel like a lot of times, that's why you can make a lot more money. But the squad, we have a squad that, for me, is still a little unbalanced. And we're rushing to sign players like Reguilón that I won't be surprised if we get to January and Reguilón goes back to Spurs when Shaw and Malacia come back. Right. So for me, that's where I would say probably like a B minus is what I would rate our transfer dealings this summer.
What about you, Francis?
Yo, that shit is a C or C minus. What are you talking about?
Like, I thought you were gonna use choice words.
Nah, man. Shit. Signed a 21-year-old striker that has scored 9 goals, and you know, I'm wishing him very best. I hope he does well. Fucking signed Mason Mount, who I don't think is what we need, but I'm not the coach, so you know, the coach probably knows better. We signed Onana, who's an upgrade on De Gea. Those three are, you know, decent signings that I think we kind of needed, except Mason Mount. And then we didn't do anything for two. I mean, this transfer window started off good. You know, everyone, they would say, oh, United wants to get this guy, after this guy, get this guy. And they were meeting those targets, right? And then after, I think, June or after Haaland was signed, there's just this gap of negativity that was just going through the whole club, you know, FFP conversations. We need to sell this. We can't sell this. You know, we don't have money anymore. We need to sell to buy. We need to get rid of Fred, Donny van der Beek to bring space for more players. Like, what the fuck is going on? Plus, what Maestro said about Amrabat was just sitting down there, you know, waiting for a long period of time to get signed, and nothing really happened. So, at the end of the day, like today now, they've announced three or four signings. In my head, is like, you knew you were going to sign these people, apart from Reguilón. Why didn't you just do this earlier so we can integrate these people into the team? You know, sell people. Like, sometimes this club just needs to take the loss and move on. You know, why are you still carrying people that you know will not play? Maguire, he doesn't want to leave. You come to an agreement, man. If he's demanding 12 million, if there's a way you can come to an agreement and pay six, fine. If it doesn't work out that way, sure, I mean, but I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But, you know, McTominay as well. You know, McTominay now, I don't even know when he's going to play or where he's going to play. So I don't know. Baye is still at the club, you know. it's yeah. True. But Baye is still at the club. So I don't understand some of these. This, like, City is selling Cole Palmer, who has played
for 45 million.
Not more than 10 senior appearances for 45 million. Meanwhile, yeah, Belanga, who's played Champions League, scored in the Champions League, played the Premiership.
Yeah.
What's again, different about it?
He was part of a treble-winning squad.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, but he didn't do anything.
Hold on. He was part of a treble-winning squad. He's an English player, and he's highly rated at a youth level. Like, that's another thing you guys have to bear in mind. It's not that Cole Palmer is unknown to people. Like, you know, it's not like he's... There's a reason why he was in their squad last season. There's a reason why he would have probably played some. He's the one that wanted to leave, right? Like, yes. Man City went trying to push him out.
No, I think you're making you're giving reasoning to something else, because this is not the first time it's happening. Bella Kocha that went to Southampton went for 25 million. Same with their goalkeeper, who I don't even remember his name now, went for 17 Trafford. Million. Trafford plus the one that is keeping for Southampton, the black guy.
Okay,
he left from City as well. So all these guys went for serious money, but then they are not.
I think they have a very good, like, Chelsea and City have very good youth squads, right? Like, so we need to start there. It's like, obviously, United is trying to build up our youth squad again after a few years, and we've started investing heavily. But City has done a lot. Like, one thing you have to bear in mind is there's no Lavia in our youth system. Okay, Meno would be the closest thing that we have to a Lavia, but you get what I mean? Like, you can look at some of the people that have come out of the youth system for City in the last, like, few years that have gone on to other teams, and there are lots of good players. Not forget even the fact that they play for City. Like, they are good players within that squad as well. So what I'm saying is, from our perspective, it's like we just sold Tenden Mengi for an undisclosed fee.
we're hiding the fee.
We know why we're hiding the fee. Another person I forgot to mention, I don't know if you've noticed, Pelestri hasn't gone on loan. Hannibal hasn't gone on loan either.
Pelestri is not going, he's staying.
Yeah, he's staying. Apparently, he's staying.
I think Itch likes Pelestri, but I also think, that's him.
Hannibal, now that we're signing Amrabat, honestly, I don't. So, the fact that, like, there are teams that are looking at, like, Bayern Munich was looking at Scott McTominay, Fulham tried to sign Scott McTominay. I would actually like to see Hannibal play, not like start. I'm not saying start, but just like Carlin Cobb get a game here, because as a number eight, what I saw in preseason in the game that I saw him play, I really liked what I saw. Now, I don't think he's ready to start. I'm not saying he should bench Scott or anything, but I'm thinking that, like, those are some of the players that, like, if he plays, for example, if someone like Hannibal plays for us this season, even if he plays, you know, 10 games, I'm talking about sub appearances as well, right? Let's say he plays 10 games, and we have a successful season, whatever successful is, like, at the end of the season, people get and say, oh, United did well. Then you might be able to sell him next season to somebody for 15 million, 20 million, right? Those are some of the things that we don't have the luxury of now, because even our starters are not retaining their value. So how can our young players, who don't even get a look in the team, retain any value as well? Look at DVB. right? We can barely get him a loan deal. So I think it will get better if we're successful. But until we're successful, I don't see that part of it getting better.
I think one thing that I've realized, you know, as much as we like to say new beginnings with ETH, I feel like ETH is the only like good thing happening in that club right now. I feel like if ETH was in there, ETH is covering up a lot of cracks.
It's hard for him to even look good. Sorry, finish what you're
saying. Yeah, and I'm saying like it's covering up a lot of cracks of our deficiencies organizationally, because when you start seeing these things, you see the way City are moving, you see the way Chelsea are moving. Let's even go lower. You see the way Brighton are moving. I know you like to talk about how us like slurping over Brighton, but there's a reason why. Like, look at their recruitment. Like, look at Ansu Fati going to Brighton on loan. Like, but you get what I'm saying. Like, when you start seeing the way all these other clubs are moving, and you see the way we're moving, we're begging, we're penny pinching, we're doing this. Like, it just shows you like how disorganized we are. And then if ETH wasn't there at all, or if we do lose ETH, like, imagine what will happen.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen what will happen. We saw what happened with that. You know, Francis, I heard you make a squeal when he said, you know, was there something you wanted to say?
You heard what I wanted to say, which was the squeal.
But anyways, I'll just wrap this off by saying, do you guys see us bringing anybody else? I know we still have a couple of hours before deadline. Or do you think this is it until January?
I think this is it till January.
I'm just praying that the one that some sources on this group said is fine. I pray he really makes it to Old Trafford. But
do you think we need Amrabat?
I think we need a player in this position.
Yes. Yes, we need a player.
Might not be Amrabat
in the DM position.
Yeah.
You think Amrabat is going to play DM for us?
The
question I asked you was, do you think we need Amrabat? You guys answered a different question.
Yeah, it could be a different player, but the reason for me, I'm speaking for myself, the reason I'm good on the signing is because we need cover in that DM position, because we don't have any other person.
And then the question I asked you after that was, do you think we signed Amrabat to play as a DM?
I think so.
I don't think he's going to play as a DM. I think he's going to play as a number 8.
I guess it depends on what you call number 8.
Yeah, like, so I think he can play both. Let me say that. Like, he will play. But I also think you will see him play alongside Casemiro.
I was going to say that. Yeah, I see him playing alongside Casemiro.
And I think he'll play alongside Casemiro in tougher games.
In those games, I think then you are saying we're playing with 2 sixes. Or are you saying he'll play as a number 8 in that game, in those games as well?
No, he'll play as a number 8, but he has better qualities defensively than an advanced 8. So I don't expect him, when he's playing as an 8, to play the way Mount is playing.
Okay, I see what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, he's not going to play the same way. He's probably going to be a little bit more defensive. It's more like Eriksen, but providing that defensive cover as well.
All right, let's move on to the game.
Maestro, do you think we need a DM?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what would have been your priority, I guess?
I mean, again, we have a lot of midfielders. I, for me, like I said, I think I said this, maybe I said this in the previous pod, or maybe it was in the group chat. I still feel like the way we're playing is by design, right? Like, the advanced eights that we see are by design. Yep. And so for me, it's like, yes, we can get Amrabat, and then maybe you are saying that he could replace Casemiro. But if we are not playing well, we will still see the same problems. Maybe this guy has more legs than Casemiro at this point. I guess we'll find out. But if we are not playing well, those gaps are still going to be exposed, whether it's Casemiro, whether it's Amrabat. And I think that's where I'm saying, like, that's why I was never like super like worried about whether I was signed him or not, because if we're playing with advanced states, we have to actually play better, and ETH and his coaching staff have to prepare these guys to execute whatever it is that the plan is better than they have so far.
I see what you're saying, but I think it's two problems, and you can solve two problems one after the other. One problem is the style of play. Second problem is the bodies to implement your style of play. Sure, we need to play well, but then we can be playing well and still not have good players to implement that system, or good players to cover when the starting 11 is down. And I think that's why it was necessary to buy good players, not just random players like this Reguilon signing. I didn't really care about it, but obviously with the situation, it is what it is. I just thought it was very important to buy someone that could cover for Casemiro, and or even push him out of that position when he's not playing well, because we know what happened to Casemiro last season. He started off like 6 games into the season and probably missed 10 games from cards. And that's the chances of that happening this season is high too. If Casemiro is out, who's going to play in this position? And I think it's a genuine question for all of us. Who's going to play in this position if he's out today? Nobody. Unless we bring Scott, and we know what Scott can do. Right? We have no one else that can play there. Last season, we had Sabitzer, we had Fred that could try, but now we don't have anyone.
It's not Eric. Mino are going to play in that position as well, if I'm being honest. Like, Mino.
Yeah, but Mino is injured.
Yeah, but he's injured now.
And he's going to be back soon.
Yeah, but if it happens before he's back, then what happens?
Then we adjust now. Like, if Amaba gets injured and... No, but it's true. Like, okay, so now we signed the left back because two of our left backs got injured. You can't anticipate, like, that two of your starters or two of your players in a position are going to get injured. So now if something happens to another position, what do? We always try to, like, readjust, right?
At that point, you readjust when the solution, there's no solution, right?
Yeah.
Right now, I guess the somewhat solution that we have is the transfer window is still open.
Yes.
So you take advantage of that solution that you have. But when, you know, the cards are not in your favor, then you have to adjust now.
Yeah, I guess so. I think you are constantly balancing your expectations for now versus your expectations over the long run. For me, I'm looking at it more for the long term in terms of, and those two things are obviously linked. I'm not saying that, you know, you should forsake the entire, like, this period just for me, it's still, as a team, are we playing the way that we need to play, right? And then if we are playing the way that we need to play or the style that we want to play, then it's easier to be able to judge the players you actually have and say, this person is playing well and doesn't need to be replaced. This person needs to be replaced. We need an upgrade here. Like with goalie, for example, it was clear to us that De Gea wasn't playing the way that we needed to play. Whether or not he was a good keeper or not was not even the point. He just doesn't fit the style. And so he needed to be replaced. With Amrabat, it feels like we are reacting to something that we are seeing in the first 2 games of the season when we are playing a new style. And I'm not saying that Amrabat is not a good player and we shouldn't, like, under normal circumstances, we still wouldn't have signed him. I'm just saying, like, that decision doesn't feel like it was part of our total transfer package. It feels like, oh, the season has started, now we're reacting and saying, oh, we still need somebody. And I guess you guys have already been clamoring before we signed Mount that you needed a DM anyway. So maybe you felt this way even before we got into the transfer window, you know, the transfer window started.
Yeah, no, I think in some kind of way, we're all kind of saying the same thing. It's just, we're all worried about different aspects of the team. I think both things can be true at the same time, but let's move on to the game of the week. We're playing Arsenal on Sunday. Last season, we took a game with each other. I think we beat them earlier in the season, and then the second game of the season, they needed a late winner from Nketiah, which I'm still pissed about. But we played them on Sunday, and Arsenal too, as in, like, they've won, I think they've won 2 games and drawn 1. Well, I think they've won 1 and drawn 2. Is that correct?
No, they've won 2, drawn 1.
Yeah, they haven't really like jumped out the way we thought Arsenal would jump out, considering how they finished last season.
Danny Wee. Oh, you speak French now.
The general populace. Like, I wasn't specifically talking about this podcast.
Now, but you have somebody in the podcast that picked them to win the title, though. So.
Oh, yeah. You're right. My bad. But anyways, I'm sure Arsenal fans would say that they could have started better too as well. It's always fun like listening to Arsenal AFTV after they draw or lose a game. Well, we're playing them on Sunday. We're away to Arsenal. How do you see?
Sorry, just one quick note before we get into that part. I just saw from Fabrizio. He said Italian transfer window is closed. So Mason Greenwood to Lazio is off. I didn't even know he was supposed to go to Lazio, but it looks like he might not. Well, I guess there's still some that are open, but it looks like...
Yeah, there's still some that are open.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But Francis, how do you see this game going? I guess Arsenal, away to Arsenal on Sunday.
Going to be a tough game, for sure. I think it depends on how or the personnel that we actually put out for this game. If Eriksen starts, I think Arsenal would run us ragged in the first few minutes. And you know how Arsenal starts games. They start very, very fast and we're playing away. So I think we need to be defensively solid as a team in the first half, especially, and then grow into the game as opposed to, you know, rushing and whatnot, give them the respect that they deserve to. But I think it'll be an interesting game. I expect quite a few goals. Yes, Arsenal has not been as strong as some of us expected them to be. But they've won games, you know. And there's also credit to the other teams because it just tells you that the other teams have gotten stronger as well. And that's just the beauty of EPL. So I expect it to be a good game. But, you know, I'd save my result for when we reach that section. But look out for Haaland, though. I think he has something in store for this boys.
Yeah, I think the rumor is that he's supposed to start. But I agree with you in the sense that there's going to be goals in this game. My worry is the fact that we really don't have a makeshift left back in Dalot, and the fact that Eriksen is not that mobile. So those are my two worries when it comes to this game. But besides that, I think we're always play Arsenal. We're always get up for Arsenal, a game like Arsenal. I don't see us getting like blown out like we do against Liverpool or City for some reason when we play those two teams. It's close or it's a blowout. But with Arsenal, I think
we're... Yeah, talking about two teams, all three teams you mentioned, we beat them last season, by the way.
No. Yeah, but did we concede the most goals against City last season or was it Liverpool?
Both.
Yeah, so that's my point. Like, it's either it's close, like, or we beat them, or like it's a blow. Like, there's no two ways about when we played City and Liverpool. But I think with Arsenal, it's a little bit more of a closer game, regardless of wherever we are in form or in the season. So I expect it to be like a tie game, but I also expect, like, I think I expect at least four goals in that game. But El Maestro, your thoughts on how you see the game going?
For me, I think I started the segment telling you guys it's snack time. You know,
munchies.
Man's have a little munchie. You know, you always look for your favorite snacks. For me personally, I like a good, you know, I like Doritos, for example. You know, I like the Flaming Hot. You know, I use it for nachos. This is how I look at it. You know, honestly, no, I'm not worried. Like home away to me, it doesn't actually matter. Like Arsenal is not a team that puts any kind of fear in my heart. And I think they're the, you know, like they're like Bounty, you know, the quicker picker upper. This is what we need at this point in the system. At this point in the season. You know, we've been struggling a little bit, but I think this is what we need. I don't know who Francis sees starting this game if Eriksen isn't the one, because obviously Mount isn't going to play. So when he says, you know, if Ericsson starts, we're going to be run ragged. Well, I think he's predicting that we'll be run ragged. I also find it kind of curious that he's been so magnanimous with Arsenal in terms of how they struggled to start the season. But with United, you know, the house is on fire. But I guess, you know, niggas will do anything they can to protect, you know, their picks and the club.
No, but if you watch the game, you get the context, though. Regardless of how Arsenal has started, they still create multiple chances within the game. The keeper on the opponent's side is most times the man of the match.
Yeah, but who have they played? Like, the only game we lost...
Who have we played?
We lost the Spurs away. That's not an easy game. Arsenal lost that game last season. And we created chances in that game too, by the way.
Yeah, but we've not... Like, apart from Spurs, who have we played, though?
Yeah, but we won. Right?
Yeah, like, so, what are we... We're still talking about the chances that we concede in games. Arsenal don't concede as many chances.
But they just drew 2-2 at home to Fulham. What are you saying? Yeah, they don't concede chances.
Yeah, I know. But look at the Wolves game. Everyone says we should have lost that game, but we won. But Wolves are the better team. Tottenham game, the same thing. The
better team is the team that wins, bro. Like, let's stop that first and foremost. Like,
so Tottenham was the better team against...
Yes, Tottenham was the better team. You win, you are the better team. Like, I don't subscribe to this, like, the better team lost today. Nah. You win, you are the better team.
So, on record, did you actually say something similar when we played Man City last season, that United were the better team?
No, I never said that.
Hold on.
We lost 6-3. And think that I said that we were the better team when we lost?
Yeah,
comments.
I think you said that. Yeah,
Larry, no further comments.
No, wait, hold on. We were losing 6-1 in that game. We scored 2 goals to make it 6-3. And you guys have audio of me saying that we were better than City. Please go and get that audio.
I don't know where we'll get to, but the thing is,
and for me, it's like, if you don't actually find it, you have to come to on the next episode and say it. Because you guys will say this kind of thing, you won't do the work to go and find it. If you don't find the audio, you need to make a public apology, because you can't speculate. This kind of reckless speculation.
What happens when we find the audio?
Then you play it. We'll play it as part of the episode now. You know what? I will even hold off on posting this so you can go and listen to that episode.
No, don't worry. I think you said it in our friend's podcast. Banter. I think that's what you actually recorded.
I can clip those ones too if you find me the audio.
Yeah.
Anyways, we'll
move on. We'll try and find the audio. If not on this podcast, in the next one.
Please, Francis, if you don't find the audio by next podcast, I would like a public apology from the both of you.
Yes, sir. What were you saying, Larry, El Maestro? You say you don't subscribe to the notion. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's just like I'm not worried about Arsenal. My prediction will reflect that.
Okay. All right. So we'll go to our lineups. I will go first. Onana in goal. Wan-Bissaka, Varane is injured, so... Oof. That's true, Varane is injured, yeah. Varane is injured, so I think...
Sorry. Kolomwani joins PSG.
Are you sure? Who said that? I haven't seen it anywhere.
Is your boy. Your boy wrote, here we go. Should we believe him or not?
I was waiting for you to say his name now.
Should we believe him or not?
You notice where his energy when he first reported it. He reported it like it was news, like it was already done. Now, when I asked him where it was, that's when he started trying to, you know, put context around it. Yeah,
that's what he said. He said, here we go. Should we believe your boy or not?
Me, I haven't seen any here we go.
Please continue.
Anyways, I'll go Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Martinez. Dalo in midfield, Eriksen, Bruno, and Casemiro. Attack, we'll go with Rashford. Rashford, Anthony, and Hoyland to start. Francis.
Onana in goal, Wan-Bissaka, Varane, Martinez, Dalot.
Varane? I thought Varane was out for a while.
Oh, shit, that's true. Lindelof. Lindelof, Martinez, Dalot. Fuck. Varane is out, eh? Casemiro. Man. I'm hoping Scott McTominay plays, but I think it's Eriksen. So, Casemiro, Eriksen, Bruno, Anthony, Rashford, and Martial.
Maestro?
I just remembered the fact that we didn't talk about Martial, actually. And
there's nothing to talk about, please.
Yeah, I was thinking about asking that question. What was our thoughts on this?
Yeah, Martial played in the game. Now, do you think he I felt like, obviously, I think the major difference is that Rashford played on the left. But did you guys think he offered anything going forward for us that
I think what he offered is that he allowed Rashford to play in his preferred position, which I guess is a plus.
He offered nothing. Absolutely. Sancho was better when he came on. And I was hoping Sancho would actually play against Arsenal as opposed to Martial. So in my head, I'm hoping Sancho starts and then Hojlund can come in. Martial did absolutely nothing. True pass. He can't even run. He can't raise his leg. He runs like he's carrying a school bag. Maestro, unless you thought otherwise, what did you...
Nah. I just wanted to get your thoughts, the thoughts of the man then.
What are your own thoughts?
I thought Martial was okay. I thought we played better because Rashford wasn't the one playing. I thought he played better than Rashford has played in that same position. But I obviously thought that, again, to your points, like the biggest difference is that Rashford can play on the left and he brings more cutting edge on the left. For my lineup, I'm struggling with Anthony, but let's see where we go with this. Onana in goal, of course. Martinez, Lindelof, Dalot, and Wan-Bissaka. In midfield, I'm going to go with Scott, Casemiro, and Bruno Fernandes. In attack, I'm going to go with Anthony, Martial, and Rashford. I agree with you. I think I don't know that ETH is going to bench Anthony yet, but I kind of feel like Sancho has probably deserved maybe a little bit more game time. But I don't know if Arsenal is the game that you try that. So, yeah. So that's my lineup.
So well, is it Martial, Anthony, and Rashford?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I guess just to wrap this segment, like that would beg the, do you think Sancho is better off playing on the left than Anthony? On the right, sorry, is what you're saying.
I think
because when he has come in, he has come in as a false nine.
Yeah, he's coming as a false nine. So I feel like ETH wants to play him. So he's looking for places that he can play him in, right? Like right now, based on what you guys are saying, Hojlund is going to be back. If Hojlund is back, then we don't need him to be a false nine as much because now we have a starter and somebody coming off the bench. Whether that's going to be Martial, whether it's going to be Hojlund, we have two strikers. So I think you're now going to have to start looking at playing Sancho in a different position, whether that's number 10. I think he's the kind of person that can play in multiple positions. And through the season, I think we will see him as a false nine in number 10, play on the right, play on the left, depending on what's needed for that particular game and for the team.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is that this is the best stretch I've seen him, even though it's just been cameos, that I've seen him kind of like in the past couple of years, right, for United. And it's been false nine. I don't know, would he be as effective if he comes off the right? I guess it's my question.
I think it's his energy, though. I think his energy is much better than it's been so far. Like, he looks more alive and more of a... In Kenneth's words, like a live wire, he looks more ready to go.
Okay, let's go to scoreline predictions. I will go 2-2. I predict a draw.
Oof.
Francis?
2-1 to United.
Huh?
What?
niggas are playing chess.
Yeah, not checking. Damn. And he took my score line too. Wow. Okay, so I'll go 3-2 3-2 United.
All right. There you have it. We'll try and give you like
a can I make a caveat? Can I make a caveat though?
Sure.
If Scott McTominay plays. If Scott McTominay starts, it'll be 2-1. If Eriksen starts, it will be Arsenal 3, United 1.
Damn. Bro, we asked for one prediction. Hey, which one are you doing? Your lineup said Eriksen was
I'm sticking with my lineup, if I'm sticking with my lineup, then my scoreline is 3-1.
Okay, so you only have one. You said 2-1, Joe. You only have one score line. There's no like caveat.
I just dropped my mic.
Off your mic.
All right. Thank you all for listening. Please give us a follow on socials at What Will Frankie Do on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Also rate and review us. 5 stars only. Anything less than 5 stars.
Keep it to yourself.
You don't know the vibe. You know, man.